Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When I first looked through the lectionary readings for the fifth Sunday of Eastertide, I was struck by one leitmotif, one central thread running through them, one word, namely love. I then engaged in an interesting, entertaining little exercise, counting the number of times the word love appeared in today's lectionary readings. Any guesses off the top of your head? 20. Close. The answer is over 24 times. So I think there is a theme here. So this is a sermon about love. But just what kind of love are we talking about? Love is arguably an overused and misunderstood word. One can say, "I just love ice cream," or "I love that movie." Just a touch of hyperbole, wouldn't you say? One of my favorite rock groups of all time, the Beatles, once sang, perhaps somewhat tongue-in-cheek, "All you need is love. Love is all you need." So what is this love that we hear about over and over again in today's readings? Well, I think we get a clue when we consider how one expresses the term "I love you" in American Sign Language, or ASL. Many years ago, as part of my seminary studies and preparation for the priesthood, I spent 2 weeks in a deaf culture immersion program. I lived with a deaf family near Baltimore, spent time at Gallaudet University in D.C., and visited with deaf inmates in the Maryland Correctional Institute in Jessup. As preparation for that mission work, I took ASL classes and learned that there are two ways to express the sentiment, "I love you," in the deaf world. Two very different ways to sign the sentence, "I love you." The first is using one hand and is based on how one signs the letters of the alphabet. I love you. So "I love you," logically, is "I love you. I love you." The second way, however, which is my personal favorite, is as follows: "I love you." The love is held close to the heart and is then released outward to another. That, I believe, is what is meant by love in our readings for today, an outpouring of caring, of empathy, of compassion, of love. First, love as a gift from God to us, made manifest among us through the life and ministry of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But then, and this is crucial, through our reciprocal love for our Creator and for each other. God doesn't ask or invite us to love one another. God commands us to do so. Indeed, as we heard in today's epistle, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So the key to passing from death to life, to a full, rich, and vibrant earthly life, as well as to everlasting life, the key, I believe, is love. And it's not a quiet, passive, pink hearts and pretty flowers kind of love that we're commanded to embrace. No, the love that we are commanded to embrace, the love that we are confronted with in today's scripture, the love that makes us, let's be honest, just a little bit uncomfortable, is a love that is active and truthful, full of truth and action. Indeed, in the chapter of 1 John, immediately preceding the epistle passage we heard today, Scripture tells us, "Little children, let us love." Let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth. End quote. I would alter that slightly to say not only in word and speech, but also in truth and action. For as we all know, words spoken in love, even words spoken in challenging, so-called tough love, can have a lasting, positive impact on our lives. So how can we love truthfully and actively? I would say that here at St. Anne's, we're doing a pretty good job of that, although one can always do more. However, I would also say that perhaps we haven't done so well recently as a national church and as the worldwide Anglican Communion in showing love not only in words and speech, but also in truth and action. And in the secular realm, our national discourse has been filled with distrust, dissonance, and disrespect. Love has been noticeably absent from the rhetoric on all sides of the political debate. One sometimes stops to wonder, what must God think of all this? What must God think of us? For God's unfailing love, God's generous gift to us is not gratuitous. It came with a price. A terrible price, the sacrifice of God's only child for the sins of the world, our sins, mine and yours. That kind of unfailing love, that sort of generosity is hard to fathom. It's almost beyond our human comprehension. The English clergyman, Samuel Crossman, dean of Bristol Cathedral in the 17th century, penned the words to a hauntingly beautiful hymn that remains in our hymnal to this day. It's hymn 458, in case you'd like to look it up now or later on, and we'll be singing it together later on in the service as our communion hymn, hymn 458. I think it speaks to us today across space and time and into the future with its message of God's unfailing love and its charge to love the loveless, all in Christ's name. In the hymn's first stanza, we are told, "My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die?" The first story we heard this morning from the book of Acts describes how Philip responds to the Ethiopian eunuch's request to help him understand the passage of scripture he is reading. Philip's willingness to spend time with this stranger, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with him, leads to the Ethiopian's conversion to Christianity and his baptism into the body of Christ. What would have happened had Philip shied away from this stranger he happened to run into on the roadway outside Jerusalem? What is described in the text as a wilderness road in a deserted, lightly traveled area. And in his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, "God has poured out his love into our hearts." God has poured out his love into our hearts. The rest is up to us. Only we can gather up that love and then pour it out again to each other, to our neighbors, to strangers, to the other, to those who differ from us, and always, always to the loveless, that they and we might lovely be. Over the next few weeks, as we prepare for Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out onto all of us, I invite you to think and pray about what it means in your life to be a receptacle of this outpouring of divine love. I invite you to ponder what Jesus is saying to all of us in today's gospel passage when he states that he is the vine and we are the branches, and instructs us to abide in him. And contemplate for your own life the meaning of his words: "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Dear, good people of St. Anne's, may God bless you, and may God fill your hearts to overflowing with love. Amen.